Hi, I'm Norman Caruso. Steven, I just reserved my Zelda Skyward Sword bundle from Best Buy.
I'm Steven Duncan. I think I'm a little bit behind. I'm still stuck on Zelda 2.
Have you talked to Error yet?
That's why I'm stuck! I go up to him. He says, I am Error. He's not telling me where I need to go!
This is the Level 7 Podcast. Today on the Level 7 Podcast, Sony has detected another hacking attempt.
We talk about the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer.
And we'll be talking about the new graphics engine Square Enix unveiled. And our main topic, we're going to be talking about motion control, touchscreen, and 3D gaming. Are these just elaborate fads, or is this the technology of the future?
The future.
Anyway, if this is your first time listening to the Level 7 Podcast, here's how it works. We have seven topics from the past week in video games, and we have about 2 minutes to talk about each topic. We also talk about the main discussion, and we have more than 2 minutes for that one. And we also have a mailbag section and all kinds of fun interactions and kick-ass music, right, Steven?
Absolutely. Pick kick-ass music.
We handpicked this from the tree. From a tree, Steven.
You want me to respond to from a tree?
From a tree. Anyway, let's get right into it. Steven, only 6 months after the huge hacking scandal, Sony has detected another hacking attempt in their networks. This one is said to have affected about 93,000 users. Should we be worried?
Okay, we as consumers probably shouldn't be that worried. 93,000 people, don't get me wrong, that is a lot of people. It's only 0.1% of the mass that's on PSN. And the nature of the hack isn't as crucial as the last one, which affected everybody.
Right.
The last hack went straight after your credit card information. But this one is just trying to see if it can guess your username and password.
Yeah, and I think Sony did a really good job on this hacking attempt. It does kind of look bad because, you know, they went through this whole fiasco already. But like you said, it was just some guy trying to get into accounts, and they locked all the accounts before he could get in. So I think Sony did a good job on this. And, I mean, yeah, it does look bad, but... At least they weren't stealing credit cards.
No, did you see the advice that Sony gave to the people who had their accounts accessed?
The thing I read was make sure your password is unique to the Sony online network.
So they basically told the users, you're stupid, change your password from password.
Well, what if their password was like diaper 53?
That's still too predictable. You have to have random letters and characters and squiggle lines. You have to include at least 2 squiggle lines. Here's
the
thing.
How about I am Error?
Now you're just trying to get to me, Norm.
So that's a good password.
Yeah, I guess. I am Error with 2 squiggle lines. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I think you're right. Sony handled this better than the last thing. But here's the thing. Sony could have been sitting on the toilet. They could have opened the door and said, "We're on it!" And that would have handled it better than what they did last time. Last time was a 23-day nightmare that they couldn't have handled any worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, they handled it better, but it's because the bar for that isn't low. It's on the ground.
It definitely was on the ground.
So, Norm. Square Enix has unveiled a new next-gen graphics engine. The engine boasts photorealistic graphics while cutting production times and production costs by 30%. How excited should we be?
I am super excited because it's advanced physics, it's photorealistic. It looks incredible. I watched the tech demo. I mean, this looks pretty impressive. I know it's not going to come out on this generation, but It sounds awesome. I mean, what's not to like about a brand new graphics engine? And the only complaint I have is I wish they would start making some games for it, which I'm sure they are.
Sure. I'm pretty sure they have something in production. I wanted to see something a little bit more. And this is me being kind of greedy. The
Scrooge McDuck.
Exactly. That was my nickname in high school. So there was... I wanted to see people. I think people, just characters, are an easy way to judge where a graphics engine's at. I think if they had showed me that, I'd be a little bit more impressed. Now, what we saw, was it awesome? Yeah, looked great. And I'm glad we're making that jump forward. And I'm glad to see the progress, but I want to see the more difficult stuff. I don't want to just see sidewalks. I don't want to just see concrete and asphalt. They have came out and said this is the best technology for fluid graphics and cloth graphics. That means you have something in your vaults that can show this off. Why not put that out in the tech demo? Why not show us what we're going to get? Get us excited about these new graphics.
You weren't excited about the bathroom dungeon they were showing off?
Yeah, like I can't go to downtown slums and replicate that myself.
Did you see the detail on all the dirty walls they were showing?
I did, and yes, it is good. It's great, and I'm glad to see it, but I just wanted to see another benchmark, and they might give it to me in another month or at whatever the next big conference is. For me, the big takeaway for this, though, was the cutting of the cost and the time. And I think Square should be really happy that it's 30% less production time, because both Final Fantasy 12 and 13, two games, took five years a piece to make. Two games, one decade.
That is a little excessive. So, Steven, Mass Effect 3 has confirmed multiplayer. That's mm-hmm. right. The worst kept secret in all of video games right now. Mass Effect 3 has finally been confirmed to have multiplayer. The game so far has been strictly single player, and the new feature is said to have an impact on the single player experience. Do you agree with this, or are you going to pick up Mass Effect 3, or are you going to hold off?
Okay, I'm picking up Mass Effect 3. I might ask for a vacation in 3 days around Mass Effect 3. I might buy a new television for Mass Effect 3. I can't express how excited I am for Mass Effect 3 just because I can't do backflips anymore as I've gotten older, because I think me doing backflips would really show how excited I am for this.
I don't think you can do a backflip.
I can't. That's what I'm saying. I've gotten too old. My hips are crusty. My back is breaking. It's not going to work. But I'm cautious. Okay. I'm cautious usually with new features. And I'm especially cautious with this because I love Mass Effect 1. I love Mass Effect 2. They were self-contained things. They didn't need multiplayer. If they had added multiplayer, I'd been like, okay. If it's just some tacked-on feature or whatever. But now they're saying that it might impact the single-player experience. Now they're telling me it's optional. That, you know, okay. If I could still get the best ending without the multiplayer, I think I'll be happy. But my fear is to get the best ending, it's easier to go down the multiplayer route. And if that's the case, I'm going to feel a little cheated. That would cheapen the experience for me.
I don't think they're going to mess with the single player. I think it's ridiculous to think adding a multiplayer section to a game is going to diminish the single player in any way. But what I'm not a fan of is this online pass that they're throwing in there. It's just a way to curb used game sales, and I think they're shit, honestly. I hate online passes.
I think when it comes to actual multiplayer, yes or no, they shouldn't have the passcodes. They, you know, should be able, I have to pay $60 for Xbox Live anyways. Let me throw it in. Let me play it online. But I think they're starting to use the passcodes for single player content. And I think that may be a subject that we're going to be discussing for a little while yet.
Absolutely.
So, Norm, Gabe Newell, president of Valve, thinks Apple will redefine the gaming market. Do you agree?
They might in the future. at this time, it's totally possible. They changed the way people talk on the phone. You got the iPhone, right? They created tablets, you know, the iPad. Now everyone's getting a tablet. But here's the thing. Apple tried to make a video game console back in 1996, the Apple Pippin. This thing, even I didn't know about it until a few years ago. I mean, that's how significant the Apple Pippin was. So they have some good ideas. Gabe Newell thinks it's going to be a big open development, like a living room experience. Anybody can make games for it and do anything for it. So it's a good idea, and it's definitely possible. I don't see it happening anytime soon, though.
Well, he's really talking about Apple replacing home gaming consoles, the living room gaming consoles.
Right.
And I think we are moving towards that. We as a culture are moving towards consolidating our junk, basically. You know, we've consolidated books with a Kindle. We've consolidated CDs with the iPod. We've consolidated our DVD collections with Netflix. It makes sense that we're eventually going to do this with games because they're kind of the last space taker.
And we're taking that step because with Xbox Live or PSN, or even Nintendo Wii, you've got all these games you can download and store on your hard drive. And
right, but the real games, the real big blockbusters, you're not going to see those for a while because
they've got to perfect that.
Right, network technology has to get better because these games that require full discs take upwards of an hour to download. So it's really inconvenient to go and get them. So I don't think we'll see it anytime soon, but it is coming.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, our main topic, motion controls, 3D gaming, and touchscreens. Is this the technology of the future or just an elaborate fad? We'll be right back.
Fan of the show? Get regular updates on Facebook and Twitter at Level 7 Cast.
Welcome back to the Level 7 Podcast. We're on our main topic, and we're talking about 3D gaming, motion controls, touchscreens, all these new technologies coming out for gaming. And we just want to know, is this the technology of the future, or is this just an elaborate fad that we're going through right now? So, Steven, let's start with you. What do you think of all these new technologies? Is this just a fad, or is this here to stay?
Oh, sweet baby Jesus, I hope they're fads. None of these technologies have impressed me in ways that make me go, you know, we need to change the market. We need to change the landscape.
You don't think the Wii has impressed you?
The Wii with motion control is fun when I'm at like a party with a bunch of people where it's completely socially acceptable to wave your arms like a mad idiot. But when I'm playing the Wii at home, I stick to the most basic, most minimum motions to get the controllers to work. So when I'm with people, it's cool. Yeah, it's fine. But when I'm by myself, it's almost more of a hassle that I have to jiggle this little stick.
See, and I think when it's done right, it's okay, because I've been playing Donkey Kong Country Returns, and they have motion controls in that game, but it doesn't feel like motion. It just feels very natural, all the movements I do. So I'm a fan of motion controls if it's done right.
Well, that's the problem, though, is how many times is it honestly done right? When it is done right, it's usually in mini games like the Raving Rabbits series, or WarioWare and stuff like that. It's quote unquote done right, but it's little mini games. Why in Mario Galaxy? Why is there motion controls in Mario Galaxy? All I'm doing, I'm pointing the cursor to collect stars off in the distance.
That I agree was stupid. Where you shoot the stars on the screen.
But that's the thing. That's where, that's, I mean, we, it, We've had the Wii for a while, and that's what it's been doing. It's not like, oh, it might get better, or you know, oh, this was just the first batch. No, this is the majority of it. It's this. There's a decent game there, but it has this motion control tacked on, and it just cheapens the experience.
Yeah, they have to do it right, and I really think Donkey Kong Country Returns did it perfect. I mean, the motion controls in that game are absolutely perfect. And I've been talking to Brian Castleberry over at Substance TV about this, and he thinks the motion controls in Donkey Kong Country Returns are shit, and he thinks that it kind of made the game a lot harder than it should be, which I don't agree with. Like I said, I think it was very natural the way those motion controls worked. But is it a fad? It's not a fad. I think it's here to the technology will be here forever. Because
do you really think that?
Yeah, because Sony's doing it now. Microsoft is doing it now.
They're doing it. But here's the thing. They're doing it now. And even then, like, you're right. They had that big push with Kinect and the Move while the Wii was in its little boom state. But now the sales have tapered off for that because it's basically in a saturated market. But that's another topic. The Move doesn't really sell well. And even though it's supposed to be the best of the three technology-wise, and the Kinect, it gets blasted pretty bad, and it doesn't even sell well. Microsoft wants you to buy this, and they've done everything they can to try to get you to buy it, but the only people that buy it are, you know, drunk in their apartment with five other people that are drunk in their apartment.
Well, here's the thing. It's not going to be like a main draw to a console. Like, I think the Wii, the big thing was motion controls. That was the big thing that made people want to purchase it. I think it's going to be in video gaming from now on, but it's going to be like an optional thing in video gaming.
I think it could work with optional, but we just it doesn't do well with certain games, and people are just too accustomed just to kind of tack it on. I don't know. I think the notion of moving something around maybe like a little hint somewhere or a little whisper there, but by and large in the mainstream, I think after this generation, we're not going to see it nearly as much after the experiment of the Wii, the Move, and the Kinect.
Yeah, I think it'll go down a lot. You're not going to see it as much, but I think it's going to be with video games from now on. It's not like the Power Glove. Power Glove was garbage for the original Nintendo, because it didn't work.
But at least it looks stylish, right?
Oh, do you wear that glove around town and stuff? Or
dude, that's what I go to bars. I have the Power Glove. I have a leather jacket, and I'm the talk of the town.
So you'll wear the glove, but you won't carry around the PlayStation Move controller with, like, you know, the ball on the end. And
I do carry that, but I carry that to a special kind of party that we can't talk about on the air.
You put it in your pocket.
Sure, let's call it a pocket.
Put it in your pocket.
So, okay, what do you think about touchscreens then?
Touchscreens, it's gonna be around forever. It's on everything. Phones, tablets, touchscreens. It's gonna be on TVs. Is it on TVs now? I don't know. I don't really keep up with TV technology.
I don't know. I enjoy having stupid televisions, so I really don't keep track of smart TVs.
Yeah, I think it's going to be around. We might even have games in the future where it's like, oh, put in the bomb code so the bomb won't explode, and you have to touch on the screen. You know, you have to put in the code. They might have interactions like that, I think.
Well, I think in technology, yeah, touchscreen's here. It's people enjoy using it. It's not, you know, I see people typing with it. I see people writing with it. You know, it's here for technology. For gaming, that's something we really still need to kind of observe. Because right now, with touchscreens, the only samples that we have is what's on the iTunes app marketplace.
Well, Nintendo DS has a touchscreen, does it not?
It does. I don't... for some reason, I don't really consider that a touchscreen because I'm using it with a stylus, which to me feels different than using my fingers.
I'd still say it's a touchscreen, and the Wii U, the controller that also has a screen on it, that has a touchscreen as well.
Well, the Wii U and what happens with the Wii U is what's going to kind of sway my opinion on what's going to happen with this technology in games. Because when you look at all the iOS stuff, it's kind of an afterthought. You know, these are all incredibly casual games, so people kind of don't come out and say one thing or the other about that technology. I think when the Wii U comes out, though, we'll have a better judge of it.
Mm-hmm.
But and that also kind of leads to the other part of the question of, like, how long is it going to be around in gaming? Well, you know it's going to be around for at least another 3 to 4, maybe 5 years, because the Wii U's going to incorporate it.
And we have no idea what Sony and Microsoft are going to throw in their next-gen consoles either.
You're right. And I don't know what to expect with them in regards to touchscreen, because they wanted to copy Nintendo with motion control, and it, you know, for all intents and purposes, pretty much bombed.
Are there any, like, decent Kinect games? Can you think of one?
Like, I had a buddy of mine tell me that Fruit Ninja Kinect was
I think that's the most popular Kinect game, and I think there's, like, a Tom Clancy Ghost Recon game coming out where you can use the Kinect and customize your weapon, but that's just kind of stupid.
Yeah. But I don't think touchscreens, especially now, can't replace a controller, and I hope we don't try to move towards that.
No, there is only so much you can do with a touchscreen controller.
Right. If you play a game that's designed for the touchscreen, it'll work. Angry Birds is fun.
Angry Birds, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And it's made for the touchscreen.
Yeah, but I've seen this in like the iTunes store. They'll put out like Galaga or Pac-Man on iTunes, and it has a touchscreen controller, so you have to like touch the joystick and then the buttons, and it just doesn't work very well.
No, it's
crap.
That's a better way to put it, because it's not working very well is the most polite way you can think of saying it. It is complete and utter trash. I can't even play RPGs with that type of setup.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work very well.
Well, let's go to the final technology. And this one kind of bugs me, and that's 3D gaming. You've got the 3DS now, which gives you 3D gaming without the 3D glasses, but it can give you headaches as well. And even in movies, you've got all these movies coming out in 3D now. So what about 3D gaming? Is that technology the future, or is that just a fad?
Oh, that of all the technology we've seen come out in the past few years, this is my most absolutely, with a deep, dark, black passion, hate. I cannot stand this technology. I still don't understand why it's in the public eye. It's garbage. It's trash. It is complete bullshit.
Now, why do you think that?
Okay. Most 3D technology, this is the most basic argument. Most 3D technology requires glasses. Norm, you and I both wear glasses most of the time.
Yes.
It's really uncomfortable. I do not want to be uncomfortable while I am in my entertainment setting. If I'm watching television, I'm trying to relax. If I am playing video games, I'm trying to concentrate. And I can't do either one of those if I have glasses on top of my glasses.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the 3DS?
Okay, it's a better step, but I'm still going cross-eyed. I still don't feel right.
Yeah, I've played the 3DS, and it does kind of make I don't know if it's just me, but you can't play it. You can't sit down and play it like the Game Boy.
No, you can't, because if you look at it for too long, you're going to look up and you're going to be looking to the left and to the right at the same time. And you'll never take family photos the same way ever again.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, a few years ago, movies came out in 3D, did they not?
Correct.
Like, this isn't just a recent thing like, oh my God, 3D movies. This is the newest thing. I mean, we've had 3D movies for a while now, haven't we?
Right. We have.
And that shit didn't work a while ago. Why are they bringing it back? And
right, the thing with movies and more on the side of, you know, television movies and all that, my big problem with it is I have yet to put on 3D glasses and look at an HD image and it not be blurry when I'm looking from left to right, or when there's movement going on, even on 120 hertz televisions, where it's supposed to reduce the blur, I'm still seeing blur when I put on the glasses and trying to keep up with all the action. That defeats the purpose of HD technology, because that was supposed to take out the blur of SD technology.
Right.
And now we put on these glasses and all of a sudden we're looking at trashy images all over again, and for some reason going, oh, this looks beautiful.
Yeah, but it looks like you can touch them, Steven. You can reach out and grab them.
In my many, many years of watching television, I've never looked at the TV and went, I kind of want to touch it.
Whatever. There's been plenty of things on television you want to reach out and be like, yeah, I want to touch that. Don't lie.
But, okay, then why do I want 3D glasses where it's, okay, it feels like I can touch it, but if I really want to touch it, it's nothing but a cock tease.
Well, here's what I think. I think 3D gaming is going to be a fad. I really do. Mm. I don't see it, because I just think about before when 3D movies failed, and I'm just not into it.
It doesn't add anything to the gameplay experience. HD enhanced gameplay experience, because you can kind of like, it helped with collision detection. You can more clearly see what's going on.
Uh-huh.
But with 3D,
it's just like an entertainment experience.
Yeah, it's just like, ooh, hey, look at this. And anything that's, ooh, hey, look at this, doesn't really last that long.
Yeah. Well, though, that was our main topic. We're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about Kirby's Return to Dreamland. So stick around.
Want to hear more? View the episode archives at level7podcast.com.
And welcome back to the Level 7 Podcast. We've got three more topics. We've got our mailbag section, and then we bid you farewell. So, the first topic, Kirby's Return to Dreamland, comes out later this month. Steven, your first impressions?
Okay, so whenever I hear about a Wii game, I have to get over this kind of cynical, grumpy, old man reaction to it. The Wii hasn't treated me well, so I usually don't look at its software lineup with, you know, big glowing eyes.
Uh-huh.
However, getting past, you know, getting past screaming at the kids to get off my lawn, this is probably going to be the game. It's going to be my annual Wii game that I might care about game.
So no Skyward Sword.
No, this
interesting
game, this is of the Wii lineup, this is the one that I'll be looking at.
Okay. Yeah, it looks, it's the first traditional Kirby game since Kirby 64, and I didn't really like Kirby 64, but so I have high hopes for this. I like that they're back in Dreamland. That's cool. It's got 4-player co-op, you got new power-ups. It just looks sweet. I think it's going to be awesome. So my first impressions, yeah, awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it looks like tried and true Kirby. And
you can play as Meta Knight.
you can play as Waddle Dee. Are you not excited about playing as Waddle Dee?
Waddle Dee. Can he put on a pirate bandana again?
I didn't see that feature, but something tells me they'll put it in there somewhere. One of the things I'm really excited about with this, and this kind of goes to that motion control argument that we were just having. There's no motion control. you flip the controller sideways and play it like a Kirby game. That's it.
Yep, classic controller. That's cool. And as going back to Dreamland, the Dreamland series is amazing. The Dreamland games on the Game Boy were great. The third one was on Super Nintendo, and now they're finally going back to it, which is also cool.
Yeah, and that's kind of this isn't that gameplay isn't a beaten dead horse like all the other gameplay mechanics that Nintendo likes reminding us about every year. So, Norm, the Xbox 360 is the best-selling console in September, and it's on track to be the best-selling console in 2011. Do you think they can reach that milestone, and why do you what do you attribute to their success?
Well, their success is coming from their software titles. They've put out a ton of good games this year, and they've got a strong Xbox Live showing as well. They got a lot of good stuff coming out there. They got the new dashboard coming out. They've just been kicking butt on software, and that's why people are buying Xboxes.
Yeah, I really hate when you take my answers almost verbatim, because you're right. It's an easy answer. Software is what's leading the 360 charge.
Someone once said software is king, and this just shows why.
Right, of course. And there are some other titles that have come out just to kind of build upon what you were saying. Fallout New Vegas, L.A. Noir, Deus Ex, Rage, Portal 2. And then there's still stuff to come out with Batman, Arkham City, Skyrim, Battlefield 3.
Mm-hmm.
But I think another good selling point is the Xbox Live, even though it is a pay-to-play service, it is still agreed upon to be the best of the three. One of the big reasons 360 is doing so well, it is entrenched into the American gaming culture. Whenever an American gamer thinks, oh, I need to get some cross-platform title, they usually get it for their 360.
Yeah, and to be fair, it's usually better on the 360 when two versions of the same game come out.
Right. I think PS3's had one or two titles here or there that are better because its hardware is a little bit more powerful. But usually, I mean, the 360 for some reason has a little bit more polish to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the Wii sales will pick up at the end of the year with Skyward Sword, but I think ultimately 360 will be the best-selling console of 2011.
I agree. They've entrenched themselves in the biggest market. There's no better selling platform than being the console of the biggest market.
Right. Well, our last topic, Stephen, a Black Wii Holiday Bundle launches later this month and is packed with the new Super Mario Brothers, which that's kind of cool, but there's no GameCube support. Why is Nintendo doing this?
Okay, I'm going to answer the easy one first, and that's why are they putting out a new bundle? They want to have one last revenue push from the Wii before the Wii U comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's simple. Everybody saw it coming. It makes sense. But the GameCube thing, here's why. This one's a little bit more complicated. Anybody that's buying a Wii at this point is either too young or too casual to care about the GameCube library.
Okay. Well, yeah, I can definitely see that. And first of all, my opinion on this is a horrible, horrible release by Nintendo. I usually love their hardware bundles, but this one's I don't like it because the no GameCube support is stupid, and then they say it has a new horizontal has a new horizontal look, you know, like you couldn't play your Wii horizontally before. I know my Wii set up horizontally. Is yours? Do you have vertical?
It depends. Well, it ain't doing nothing now because I've had it in storage for a while. But when I was actually playing it, it depended on where I needed space at, depending on where I would put it.
Yeah, but I don't like that. I don't like the no GameCube support, and I don't like the idea that, oh, well, no one's going to want it because they're new casual gamers and they're not old enough to remember the GameCube. But, you know, they're opening themselves to a whole market so people can play those GameCube games and they can say, oh, Nintendo put out a lot of good stuff. I'm gonna keep buying stuff from them. I mean, why not? They didn't even lower the price. If they lowered the price, I would understand. But I don't understand why they didn't lower the price.
Well, even if those people wanted to get into the GameCube market, one, you can get a GameCube for cheap. You can probably trade your lunch money for it. Nintendo's not going to draw any revenue off of any more GameCube sales because it is all in used sales now.
Hey, it's just reputation, man. Just saying, reputation.
Okay, I guess we can go the PR route.
Reputation. All right, that's it for our topics. Let's head to the mailbag section. In this section, we'll answer your questions, and we have about 1 minute to talk about these. Again, if you have any questions, comments, or anything for us, you can follow us on Twitter at Level7Cast. Follow us on Facebook. Just search for Level 7 Podcast. You can email us, Level7Cast@gmail.com. And we're on iTunes now, which is awesome.
That means we're a big deal.
We are a big deal now, officially. But let's get to our first question. Someone wants to know why the development team that worked on Tales of Phantasia for the Super Nintendo, why did they split off from Namco Bandai?
Okay, so the reason any team splits off is for more freedom.
Mm-hmm.
This was no different. But here's the thing. That team became Tri-Ace.
Yes, okay. Became Tri-Ace. Star yeah. Ocean.
They gave us Valkyrie Profile. I don't care what they did and why. They gave me Valkyrie Profile. They could have done almost anything in the world. They did Valkyrie Profile. That's all I care about.
They could have killed a man.
They probably did.
Maybe that's why they left. But yeah, like Steven was saying, it's if they couldn't agree, they didn't want the name to be Tales of Phantasia. Namco Bandai made a lot of gameplay changes that they didn't want to happen, so they just went and formed their own company, in Tri-Ace, and they put out a lot of great games. Star Ocean series, Valkyrie Profile, Eternal Sonata was another game I think they did a really good job on.
Yeah, and they did Resonance of Fate as well.
Mm-hmm. So, good move by them, and yeah, good idea.
Right.
All right, next question. Will Rare ever go back to Nintendo?
No, they won't. They're under contract from Microsoft. You know, Microsoft owns them.
Yeah, it's not even, you can't even be like, oh, well, when our contract expires, we'll go to Nintendo. They are owned 100% by Microsoft. Nintendo sold their Rare shares to Microsoft. So Microsoft's like, you're mine now, and I'm going to tell you what to do. So
let's say we're in a fantasy world and Rare still owns itself. Mm-hmm. Should they go back to Nintendo?
No, not in this day and age. They should, if they were to do that, they should make their stuff on every console. And it would be great. You got to think of their big titles, Banjo-Kazooie series, The Perfect Dark, GoldenEye. If they made that for all the other consoles, it would be great.
I think this question usually comes up because we all remember the Rare titles with Nintendo, Donkey Kong Country, Banjo-Kazooie, Perfect Dark, 007, great titles, but you know, once they got owned by Microsoft, their quality started slipping. So this is usually why this question arises. But
yes.
Let me say this real quick: even if they went back to Nintendo, it wouldn't fix their problems about quality control.
Right. Well, that's all the time we have today for the Level 7 Podcast. Remember, we are on iTunes now. Weekly episodes every Monday. You can catch us on our website, level7podcast.com, to view the archives. And until next week. Goodbye.
Farewell.